monthly global demand for gold and are ramping up gold buying more than at any rate since data began in 1950, Sharma added. He explained, "This buying boom has helped push the price of gold to near record levels and more than 50% higher than what models based on real interest rates would suggest," adding that clearly something new is driving gold prices. Sharma pointed out that 9 of the top central bank buyers are in the developing world, including Russia, India, and China. Not coincidentally, these three countries are in talks with Brazil and South Africa about creating a new currency to challenge the dollar, Sharma noted. He attributed the rush for the precious metal to increasing sanctions pressure exerted by the U.S. and its allies, with as many as 30% of nations facing international penalties, up from 10% in the early 1990s. Sharma argued, thus the oldest and most traditional of assets, gold, is now a vehicle of central bank revolt against the dollar. Some countries began to seek alternatives after seeing Russian assets frozen abroad and the country cut off from the SWIFT global financial messaging system. Sharma wrote, suddenly it was clear that any nation could be a target. According to the expert, the U.S. saw sanctions as a cost-free way to fight Russia, but in reality, the weaponization of the dollar has come at a cost for Washington, as even allies such as Thailand and the Philippines have started to look for alternatives for dollar. Meanwhile, Press TV noted, Argentine President Alberto Fernandez and his Brazilian counterpart, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, have vowed to devise a mechanism to use their local currencies in bilateral trade amid a growing trend of dumping the U.S. dollar in trade deals by many countries. The left-leaning leaders of the two main Mercosur Southern Common Market partners met recently in the Brazilian capital to explore ways to boost trade and dump the U.S. dollar. The meeting was long, difficult, and we will carry out many more meetings, Lula said alongside Fernandez, spoke to the press. I made a commitment to my friend Alberto Fernandez that I will do every and any sacrifice so we can help Argentina in this difficult moment. Fernandez said they have made the decision to help make sure that Brazilian companies continue exporting to Argentina, and they had asked us to do some homework, which we have already done and have to do with the necessary guarantees. The proposed plan involves a line of credit to finance Brazilian companies that export to Argentina with the intention of avoiding use of the dollar, said Brazil's Deputy Minister of Economy, Gabriel Galipolo. Galipolo declared that his government proposed the creation of a special line of financing for Brazilian companies exporting to Argentina using local currencies and thus maintain the flow of bilateral trade between the two Latin American economic heavyweights. The official further explained in an interview with the local Globo News Network that the use of the U.S. dollar for trade had caused the country to lose billions. Galipolo underlined, in the last 5 years, due to Brazil's lack of mechanisms to finance its exports and Argentine imports, we have lost approximately $6 billion of space in trade balance with Argentina to China, which has been providing financing mechanisms in alternative means of payment, such as swaps or giving credit to the exporter. The deal with Brazil, which is Argentina's largest trade partner, comes as Buenos Aires' economy looks fragile after a sharp devaluation of the local currency late last month and a drain of US dollars from central bank reserves. Under the new agreement, Argentina and Brazil intend to exclude the dollar as their payment currency and use a mechanism similar to the swaps with China for foreign trade. Argentine importers will thus be able to pay for their purchases in peso, and the Brazilian government will convert the payment for their trade deals into reais. The development comes amid efforts by a growing number of countries across the globe to ditch the US dollar in favor of local currencies of trading partners. The global trend to substitute the US dollar with local currencies in trade transactions continues to accelerate as more nations have taken steps to ditch the greenback. Argentina announced last week that it will pay for Chinese imports in yuan instead of dollars to preserve its international reserves. In a meeting in Buenos Aires with China's ambassador Zhu Xiaoli, Argentine Economy Minister Sergio Massa said his country will be able to program a volume of imports in yuan worth the equivalent of more than $1 billion from next month. Massa added the South American country will program a volume of imports in yuan worth more than $1 billion from next month, which will replace the use of US dollar. Meanwhile, RT wrote in this regard, new sources of non-dollar finance are emerging in the world. There are new bilateral agreements to trade and lend in currencies other than the US dollar. Even more importantly, major oil trade buyers and sellers, Moscow and Riyadh, as much as Beijing and New Delhi, are agreeing to trade it in non-dollar currencies. These deals are destroying one of the main pillars of dollar dominance since OPEC quadrupled and then doubled oil prices in 1970s, giving countries around the world a major reason to demand and hold dollars. Needless to say, claims about the attractions of US finance were exaggerated. As far as most of the world was concerned, rather than providing beneficial productive investment, the US dollar-denominated financial system only unleashed torrents of short-term hot money that has only profited mostly Western speculative investors while regularly wreaking havoc on the rest of the world's economies.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Dear ladies, welcome to another episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. Well, wherever you are, I hope you're doing well and everything is just going so smoothly. I am Asma. I have the honor to be your host for today's episode. And in here, we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome to your program.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And again, it's a pleasure to be here with you and with the audience, of course. So, well, sister, I don't know how much you agree with me, but as for myself, I think that women are just more prone to superstition. And I'm searching for the reasons.
The many research that answer is that, yes, women have been more superstitious than men. There are many reasons. The answer to your why is some say that they have lower rationality.
Oh, my God.
And unfortunately, some say they have lower intelligence.
No, this one is not true.
Yeah, I also disagree with this one because there are some research that answer that. And
what an illogical research.
Something that could be a little relied upon is that they depend on their intuitions more than...
This one, yeah. A big like to this one.
Yeah. In many parts of the world, like, there's a lack of education.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not self-dependent. And while you're not self-dependent, you get kind of being dependent on each and everything around. So
you mean in the areas that women are not educated?
Yeah, because these things come from the areas where we see lower education rates, or where we see the dependency of women is on the men totally, or where they are not more explored. So yeah, it comes from that. Unfortunately, even in India as well, we have this idea that women should not be given higher education. And recently I was just hearing this from some Pakistani friend that when they say she wants to go for higher education, the answer comes, what for? What she needs higher education for.
What so unfortunately, thing to hear in today's, you know, life.
But unfortunately, you would see that happening in Asian countries, like in that of what I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember, like, when my mother suggested us to shift to an area which was a little, you know, backward from the city. Just for some reasons, she wanted to go there to a remote place. And the moment we shifted, I was the only graduate girl from that, in our lane. I was the only graduate girl. And the more I was outspoken, outgoing, I was considered, unfortunately, as not a very good girl in the society. Why? Because I was outspoken. Why?
So
because
they
I was
look outgoing. You down.
Yeah. Just because the amount of degrees I amassed, the looking down increased.
So still there are some areas in this world where uneducated women are, you know,
preferred over the educated ones.
Yeah.
Even in our marriages, you know, Sister Asma, you will be amazed to hear that sometimes educated men, unfortunately so-called educated men, come and they marry uneducated women. They prefer them over those who are educated.
Which in itself needs an entire episode to be talked about.
Which in itself is a superstition.
Yeah.
This is a superstition that men carry, you know. It's not only all the time. What is a superstition? Any illogical thing happening. It's not just because sometimes we just conclude superstition into black magic and those things. Those are there. But every illogical thing happening is a superstition. So here men are superstitious. I won't say that uneducated women should not be, they should not get
respected,
respected or getting married. I'm not against this, but like, you know, having this kind of weighing level in the society.
Having this notion that an uneducated woman is a better material, I guess.
Better choice.
This is very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so as you were just counting the list of reasons, I agreed more and more with the fact that because women rely more on their intuition. But before we go on some more of aspects regarding superstition and women, let's go for a break and then we'll be back. Sister Zainab, we are talking about why women seem to be more prone to accepting superstition, following them or practicing them. And then you counted a number of reasons. And then I said that if we consider the fact that they depend more and more on their senses and feelings and intuitions, so this is going to solve the entire issue, I guess. That's why they believe the superstition more and more.
Yeah, that's also the case. And apart from that, there are more certain reasons. I would like to mention men in this program, like mention very few points. Like they have this sense of winning or to have a personal gain. And for that, to achieve that personal gain or to achieve that sense of control, they kind of stick to some nonsense things like kind of black magic and other things just to gain that power of control or, you know, to win or to have that personal gain. So even men are involved.
I guess if they make a research, a given number of people, they take men and women and then ask them about superstition, I guess the amount of women believing the superstition is going to be more than men trusting those superstition. That's why I'm saying that maybe this is the truth, that women are more prone to accepting and believing superstition. And we said why? Because they go with their heart more than their mind. I'm not saying, of course, that they do not care about the logical aspect of things. I'm just saying that since we're more sensitive, we care more about our feeling, and it's a talent, I guess. It's an ability to go for the sixth sense.
Yeah,
as we
it is a talent, but at the same talent leads you to the superstitious things. Like we said, having this dependence on intuition leads you to being superstitious. Like there's this scholar called Grave. He says that the root cause of being superstitious, especially in women, is association. Humans tend to create links between their thoughts and feelings and actions and different objects and symbols. So yeah, this association of, you know, linking things in between.
Yeah, yeah. Putting everything beside each other just like you're solving a puzzle.
Yeah, you're talking about women. It's like they do these things when they mostly feel like uncertain, stressed.
Yeah, stressed. Yeah, maybe that is going to be another
reason. Or lacking control
in
the things again.
Yeah. And she wants to make the head and tail of what's going on.
It's actually completely a practice or a belief that results from ignorance or the fear of unknown. Sometimes trust in magic and chance, like you so much trust into the magic or chances that you kind of become so superstitious, or like the false conception about so many things. And
emotion, you know, I will talk about that after the break. Let's go for a short break and then after that, I'll have something to say about the emotion and feelings of women having to do something with superstition. So thank you for staying with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
We are talking about superstition and women. Well, we talked about quite so much of reasons. And then I told you that emotion is another factor that makes women more involved in superstition than men. Why is that? Well, because, for example, if somebody comes to you and tells you, if you do not do this or that, then you're going to suffer from, I don't know, something sad or bad in your life. Then the probability of a man believing that is less than a woman believing that. Why? Because a woman is more, she's filled with too much of emotion. And then no matter how much she tells herself, okay, this is just nonsense, but then there is this trigger inside her that would tell her that, what if it's true?
It's either the cultural traditions or it's the individual experiences.
Yeah.
You know, for example, it depends which society you grew up in, which area you grew up in, and what kind of a particular culture or religion they had, which would carry these beliefs. You know, unfortunately, in religions as well, there are so many superstitions, or I may say that many superstitious things have been actually mixed or put into the religion forcefully. Maybe that's a politics or something like that.
But in our narration, in the Islamic heritage, we have always been asked to avoid superstition.
Avoid it, yeah. So we are not actually authorized to be believing
in. And Islam as a whole is against superstition.
Because, you know, we are so much being told about to take care of your health. And if you become so superstitious, as per the science, as per the studies, it will lead you into the OCD.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you will...
Obsessive disorder.
Yeah, you will have obsessive compulsive disorder and obsessive thoughts regarding things. And this is referred to as magical thinking as well.
Mm-hmm. So, and maybe even depression.
Anxiety disorder, yeah. Yeah. Anxiety and stress, exactly. These things come from those superstitious and illogical things. Like, since it's a cultural thing that what you grew up in, unfortunately, like, there were some things, I don't know if it's in your culture or not, like, if a black cat crossed your way, then your day is you're going to be, a worse one.
Yeah, like the raven.
Yeah.
If you see a raven, something bad is going to happen.
And
to
interestingly,
you.
In some cultures, crossing of a black cat is considered to be a good luck.
Yeah.
Again, like this, we had this concept of breaking a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if a mirror breaks and if you look at your own reflection into it, then maybe you're looking into, you have a distorted reflection now.
Yeah.
Your life will be distorted because now your reflection in that mirror was distorted because mm-hmm. it broke down. So we had these. And number 13 is considered as to be unlucky one, and 12 is to be considered as lucky one.
Yeah.
These have no logics, no basis in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Women, as you said, why we are talking about women, why women are so much prone to it, because they want everything to be going perfect.
But men, maybe, are less...
They don't live in the fantasy world.
Yeah.
They don't live in the fantasy world. Yes, women do. Yeah, that's again, another reason that women mm-hmm. may be like that. And we got to be educating ourselves, be that from Islamic perspective and be that from scientific perspective. Have to be looking for our logics behind the things and have to increase our rationality, basically. The more rational we behave... in terms of these
exactly.
superstitious things and looking for the logics, the more we will be like getting to real world and,
coming out of the fantasy world.
Exactly, because Islam says so much, أَفَلَا يَتَّدَبَّرُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَّفَكَّرُونَ. Why don't you think? Yeah, why don't you actually, contemplate things? Why don't you realize? Why don't
so
you,
thinking is very
pondering
important.
Pondering is very important.
Yeah.
So increase your rationality, increase your... education in all perspectives, that will help us.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Zainab, and thank you, dear listeners. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until another session, I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam. And how about beginning the day by pondering upon an excellent piece of advice from Imam Ali, peace upon him, the first infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Do not sit to a table on which there is wine, because no one can guess the very hour in which his soul is grasped.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step of brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
ولا تتفرقوا فيه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله. Central Africans. Tanks and armed men. The mood in front of the Bengui Stadium with its 20,000 seats is tense this morning. Just a few months ago, a civil war raged in the country. The 30th of March 2016 is a historic day, and nothing is supposed to ruin the first democratically elected president's inauguration. To many, this event marks the beginning of reconciliation and rebuilding of this bled-out country. The celebration reflects the nation's great hope. Backstage, there is much nervousness. Radio Ndeka Luka is testing the equipment before its live show. Reporters comment on every minute of this festive event. The station's director herself is reporting. Neither the press nor the people want to miss this moment, despite the blazing heat. The new president will indeed have to work miracles to put this country out of its misery. In November 2015, the Pope pacified the deep hatred between Christians and Muslims. But this peace is brittle. Millions of Central Africans listen to Ndeka Luka, whose name means bird of hope in Sango. Security guard Narcissus is controlling the entrances. During the Civil War, he was on the front lines. Enraged armed persons brought mutilated corpses here to have the radio station report on it. Supporters of both groups have stormed the office several times, threatening to kill the journalists. As the station refused to take sides, both camps extorted it. Its Christian director Sylvie and Muslim head editor Jean-Claude Ali have never cowed to the pressure. They consider information to be a tool against violence. After 15 rough years, the editors hope for better times. The head editor is full of hope, but nothing is definite yet. In these uncertain times, the radio station is the only constant and is campaigning for reconciliation. The director and two journalists are preparing the next episode in the adjoining office. Fred and I explain why they want to invite former Christian warlord Emotion to the discussion panel. The popular show now acts as protection against violence. Enemies who once wanted to kill each other now have a discussion. But they are indeed nervous right before entering the studio. Following this downright sensational handshake of former archenemies, we leave the station and immerse ourselves in the crowd in Bangui with a special guide. Emotion doesn't hide his past. But the Christian and animistic militias didn't just fight back, but systematically took revenge on all Muslims. The so-called anti-Balaka also spread fear with lynching and crimes like cannibalism. Everyone knows the former anti-Balaka speaker is guilty. but the feared yet respected man receives a hero's welcome in all Christian neighborhoods. The contrite warrior now tends to victims of the conflict. We visit the Botango camp in Bairabi, in the 4th district. 159 people came here to flee the militia's atrocities and have lived in poverty for 3 years. Even the poorest have pinned their hopes on the new president. The extent of the destruction illustrates the Salika militia's brute force. Survivors share their misery and show us what remained of their neighborhood called Fatima. Municipal administrator Marius accompanies emotion. How many lives did this contrite warrior end himself? A delicate question, but the radio station's employees prefer to focus on the future. Ndeka Luka is the only voice of trust in this destroyed and disorganized country, like a big sister whom you confide in or ask for advice. As the only independent radio station airing around the clock, it acts as the people's voice. Guard Etienne is helping Hippolyte Le Français. The advertising editor is proud of working for this station. His reception desk is a real treasure trove. Hippolyte keeps everything and gives his best to return finds to their owners. Dinecourt is the station's star during lunchtime. His two-hour show puts people into a good mood and reduces tension. The vivacious young man is the country's most popular radio host. This true friend warned them of the attacks and lootings. The radio has much influence and also much responsibility in a country where few have access to television. The station often sends reporters on site to fulfill its mission. Etta and Fred are driving to the Muslim district, kilometer 5. The anti-Balaka rioted there to avenge the Muslim Salika militia's crimes. The two journalists guarantee our safety. Rebels from Chad and Sudan have yet to be disarmed here, but at least trade has commenced again. The Muslim enclave, kilometer 5, is the nation's economic center. Etta interviews the merchant's representative. Abdul still remembers the days when he cleansed corpses, but the Pope made him feel hopeful again. The Pope's visit has smoothed ruffled feelings, and trade is flourishing again. People here also see the new president as a man of providence. Bertil's report, The World of the Smallest, shows the neighborhood John the 23rd in the 4th district. The children are to learn about the topic of reunion, too. Bertil wins the little one's trust with warmth and tact, learning to forgive. These words resonate with many Central Africans, who desire peace now more than ever before. Here, where two-thirds are still illiterate, education seems to be the key to a better future.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, which in that we're going to speak about the art of listening. So be with us.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Wednesday, is the 19th of Shawwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Urdibehesht, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this point, we'll listen to one of the verses of the Holy Quran and the important point of it. For today, we choose Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 83.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ يقولون ربنا آمنا فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين.
And when they hear what has been revealed to the messenger, you see their eyes overflowing with tears because of what they have recognized of the truth. They say, Our Lord, we have believed, so register us among the witnesses.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the examples of the Christians shedding tears is what Ja'far ibn Abi Talib recited the verses of Surah Maryam for Nashaji in Abyssinia. Therefore, as soon as the heartily receptive persons hear the truth, they will be touched at heart, but the blocked ones do not move even by seeing it. Despite the nature of man is charmed by the truth, then when he reaches his beloved, he sheds the tears of joy. However, believers should offer a petition for the continuation of their belief and having a good end.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He.
As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
The art of listening we're speaking about. Just because you're quiet and you let others do 75% of talking doesn't mean you're a good listener. And just because you're good at talking and receiving what the other says doesn't mean you're a great listener either. How many times have you longed to be heard and understood only to have the receiving and ordering a pizza in the background, shuffling through papers or texting while you talk?
the need to be understood and listened to is a basic human need, along with food, water, and shelter. Yet the sad reality is that most of us lack this basic life skill.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The importance of listening to the Holy Quran and the miracle of listening. So listening to Quran has a great impact on one's soul, while listening to Quran makes us realize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His supremacy, and also makes us understand that we have no control over anything. While listening to Al-Quran, our soul feeds on the purity of the words of Quran and makes us realize our sins and bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listening to the Holy Quran can have both physical and emotional benefits. When you recite or listen to the Holy Quran, it helps us understand the true concepts of Islam and brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To realize the words which you are listening to are the words of the Almighty Allah, not the words of a random human. While we listen to Quran, we also come to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true creator of the heavens and the earth, and is overwhelming to listen to. Its recitation leaves is very overwhelming. Listening to its recitation leaves an amazingly effective and fresh feeling within us, in our hearts and soul, as we begin to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remedy all our issues in a matter of seconds, and that He on His own can mend our broken hearts, and He on His own is the true healer of those hearts.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
And again, we reach to essential qualities that make excellent listeners. And for today, we introduce compassion. Listening with compassion means being open to hearing the other person's feelings and concerns. You don't need to agree with them, but showing that you understand and acknowledge their feeling can make them feel heard and respected. In difficult conversations, it's often easy to forget that the other person is human too. It will be easier to maintain a constructive dialogue when you approach the discussion with compassion. Compassion plays an important role in the art of listening. It can help diffuse tense situation and make employees feel appreciated at work. Showing that you care about their well-being will make them more likely to be productive and cooperative. Episode of today's special, recently, we introduced some etiquettes in our relationship with the Holy Quran. Memorization of the Holy Quran is one of them. There is no direct verse to highlight this point, but indirectly, there is verse 34 of Surah Ahzab, chapter 33 of the Holy Quran, addressing the wives of Rasulullah Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. The verse says, and recite what is rehearsed to you in your homes of the signs of Allah and His wisdom, for Allah understands the finest mysteries and is well acquainted with them. While this verse is directly addressing the wives of Rasulullah, it is indirectly also a command to all of us to remember the verses of the Holy Quran. Again, there are numerous hadiths narrated from Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, instructing us that memorizing the Holy Quran is extremely recommended and high appreciated in our religion.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, God says, يا أيها, oh, who you believe, أطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تتولوا عنه. Do not turn away from your prophet, from the apostle of God. وأنتم تسمعون, you are hearing him. ولا تكونوا كالذين قالوا سمعنا وهم لا يسمعون. Do not be like those people who said, we hear, but we don't understand. They hear with their ears, but they don't hear with their hearts. ولا تكونوا كالذين قالوا سمعنا. Yeah. We heard what you said, but we don't accept it. وهم لا يسمعون. Then God gives an example. Who are those? You address them, you talk to them, and they can hear the voice, but they don't understand the message. Those are the animals and the cattle. إن شر الدواب عند الله الصم, dumb and deaf, or deaf and dumb. الصم البكم الذين لا يعقلون ولو علم الله فيهم خيرا لأسمعهم. If God knows the animal have the capacity to understand, he will teach them, but they don't have the capacity. And even if he teaches them, ولو أسمعهم لتولوا وهم معرضون. Even if he tries to teach them, they're going to turn away from God. One of the beautiful names of God, As-Sami' al-Alim. God is Sami'. God listens to us. If he doesn't listen to us, he's not going to answer us. So he listens. God listens. God said to Musa and Harun, when you go to Pharaoh, don't worry. Innani ma'akuma asma'u wa ara. I am with you. I can hear your conversation and I can see what you do. إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. In fact, this is the first thing we learn. God says when you are born, the first faculty in your body that is activated is your hearing. Before your vision, before we are able to see, we are able to hear. And some scientists believe that while we are in our mother's wombs, we begin the journey of hearing. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُم مِّن بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لا تعلمون شيئا. God took you out of your mother's wombs while you know nothing. وجعل لكم, and he made for you السمع. The first faculty is السمع. السمع والبصر والفؤاد. First hearing, second vision, and then discerning, understanding. وجعل لكم السمع والبصر والفؤاد.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. It seems that our time is over, so inshallah we continue this interesting topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget, follow us. Till tomorrow, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.